Welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Hello and welcome to Canadian Politics is Boring. My name is Reese Waters and with me is Jesse Harley.
Hello.
And we are joined by some very special guests. We are joined by Sarah and Lindsay from Momgasm.
Hello.
So can you tell everyone a little bit about your show?
We talk a lot about butt stuff, pussies, giving birth, pleasure, sensuality,
titties.
A whole lot of titties, hair, whole lot of body hair, a lot of discharge.
There was an episode where I talked about my hair for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, we talked just about everything and anything. Human sexuality is what we are digging into. And as mothers, there's so much shame and stigma when you become a mom about expressing your sexuality. And the thing is that you don't dry up and suddenly become barren when you become a mom like people think you do. And so Momgasm was born out of this need of Lindsay and I discovering that, you know, we both have the same mindset and we both realize that there's not a whole lot of safe spaces to have these conversations and to have them in such gregarious and obnoxious and wild ways that we usually do. And we do it in such a way that it enables other people to feel comfortable to just step out and say, hey, I'm not going to feel shameful about this anymore. Like, if you're comfortable about talking about discharge, like,
I was literally just going to say
thousands of people. Well, you know, it's
snail trails.
Snail trails. Hashtag snail trails.
There you go.
Momgasm.
Momgasm.
The funny thing is, it's impossible to get Jesse to not talk about discharge on our podcast.
No way.
I'm joking. No, there's.
I love how so excited you were.
I was so excited.
You're
I was like,
what?
Please come on the podcast. Be our first male guest to talk about discharge.
Reese, what are you going to teach us today?
This episode is all about a Canadian Victorian sex manual that I found online.
And I'm very excited.
I, based on your podcast, I guess, do you own sex manuals?
I have one, but I haven't actually read through it. And actually, my mother gave it to me like last year after we had started doing the podcast.
So what? Okay, can we like further explain what is a sex manual? Well, is this like how-to Bible for sex?
I need to stop everyone right now. My mother listens to the show. Mom, if you're listening... I don't know what I'm going to say. I certainly don't know what they're going to say.
Jesse has lots of sex manuals. He left one in my car last week.
Please turn off the show right now. Okay, that's... Please continue. I'm not kidding.
I love this.
Well, maybe this sex manual isn't a good indication of all sex manuals, but...
I mean, it's Victorian. It's not going to be what my mom gave me, which is, like, basically How to Drive Your Man Crazy. That's the fucking title of it.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's literally the title of it.
Get Married?
Yeah. Oh, God.
She's
crying. Like, Sarah's spirit just died.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just like, just, oh.
So, I think that, like, from what I was reading in this article, so a lot of sex manuals in the Victorian era were written because a lot of people didn't talk about sex. So
it's still a given.
So there was an illicit trade in unofficial ones that were more modern, I guess, in their take, but they were kind of illegal and suppressed. And it seems like a lot of the ones that were published and you could get in a library were of the view that, you know, sex outside the marriage was wrong and that people needed self-control and self-restraint in all sexual matters. And that's what this manual is about.
It's very British.
And the title... It's Canadian. It was written by Canadians. It was written in Toronto.
Oh, this is talking about the God. Ones in... Okay, so this,
no,
is,
so
this is...
It's called Searchlights on Health, Light on Dark Corners, which sounds like a euphemism.
Wait, say that again. Repeat that one more time.
You're like, can you slow it down
for me? Yeah.
Searchlights on Health.
No. Slow it down. Say it sultry.
Yeah, okay. Real sultry. Come on, give it to me. Wet Deucible. Your lips.
Searchlights on Health, Light on Dark Corners.
Ooh. That did it for me. I'm not going to lie. I might go and
Hold
buy
on.
That
let
book
me put
now.
My, let me put my headphones on. Reese, do it again, but darken your voice a little bit.
Darken? How do
get
I darken?
Get dusty.
Okay.
From your gut, from your bellows.
Get closer.
Let me just drink. So I'm not going to name the brand because I don't pay for it.
If you ask, they might. Yeah. There you go.
Get real close, real close. Whisper.
Searchlights on health. Light on dark corners. There we are. By B.G. Jeffries and J. L. Nicholas.
What a jolly note. I feel like I just want to listen to you read this as like an audio tape. I'm not even joking. Yeah,
I'm down
honestly.
For this. Yeah, okay. this could be it.
So do you want to delve into Light on Dark Corners?
Yes. Wow. Absolutely, please.
So these are some direct quotes. I'm just going to, basically this episode is just reading some direct quotes from this book. So,
but do it in your sultry voice, Reese.
I don't think I can keep that up. I'm going to be exhausted.
Is it that much effort?
Can I try?
It is.
Maybe you need to practice more.
Like, yeah, this is... Let me give it a go.
Oh, yes.
Do you want
to... No, you can go on. It's just say light in dark corners in...
Light in dark corners.
See, this.
That was good. I like that. That felt a little Batman-y for me.
Where's Scarecrow?
That was very Batman.
Shine a light in dark corners.
So we're talking about Gotham?
That's what I call my nether regions.
Can we only do the quotes in Batman voice, please?
Oh, my.
So...
This is a Joker.
This is going to be a really productive episode.
I know.
So excited.
Come on, we
this.
Need to learn. Come on, focus. Yes. The first section is on self-control. So... Many of our young men lack moral principle. They cannot look upon a beautiful girl with a pure heart and pure thoughts. They have not practiced that self-control which develops true manhood and brings into subordination of evil thoughts, evil passions, and evil practices.
Whoa.
So, there you go. That was very bad, man.
Yeah, there you go.
When was this written?
This was just at the turn of the 20th century, so like early 1900s.
Oh, okay.
This came out. A young man who allows his mind to swell upon the vision, which is a good, to swell upon the vision is a good term.
Great descriptor.
Dripping with description.
Oh, God.
To swell upon the vision of nude women will soon become a victim of ruinous passion and either fall under the influence of lewd women or resort to self-abuse.
I can't help but think that the person who wrote this had a lot of trouble growing up.
Like, they did.
Also, self-abuse, like
masturbation.
What? Is this what we're...
I think that's the term for masturbation in the Victorian era.
This sounds like very religious, like religious context. I mean, using the words evil and saying self-abuse for masturbation. I mean, like, absolutely.
When I picture self-abuse, I'm thinking like the cat of nine tails on their back.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, damn. Maybe that was like the prominent kink thing that was happening back then. Behind closed
doors. I know, right? I really wish for that. Does the manual explain that, though? Is there a kink section?
No. I kind of feel like that maybe the people who wrote it, you know, these people who try and, I think that those kind of things appeared, but in very subconscious ways in that time. So I don't.
Very stifled.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, just buried deep, deep down.
Deep down. Mm-hmm. So basically implies that men who think about other women or women in general are basically committing adultery in their hearts by just looking and thinking.
I have heard that line so many times in my life.
Adultery in your heart?
Well, I grew up as a minister's daughter.
Oh, God. Okay.
So, yeah.
I feel like that could be a completely separate episode.
Oh, it really could.
And the idea, that one, this line is great. Restraint is the noblest freedom. That's the line. So the idea that if you can restrain yourself and have no sexual urges, then you're free and you can enjoy life without feeling the need to self-abuse.
That's just sad. It's really, really sad. But the thing is even more sad about it is that ideology is still super present today. Like, even though this is like turned the 20th century, when we first started doing Momgasm, we were getting replies from women. We got one in particular from a woman. And I tell this story like quite frequently because it still blows my mind. And she told us, I think she was in her 40s.
Yeah, 40s and had at least 4 kids.
And she said that she had never masturbated before in her life.
Well, it was the like, thank you for what you're doing because of you. For the first time in my entire life, I've explored myself.
Wow.
And like, isn't that incredible?
She's just really busy.
But this is not uncommon. It's not uncommon. And I feel, and I also feel that, like, for a lot of people.
Sorry. I feel sorry for it. I'm glad she found it.
I think the edible is kicking in now.
No, it's not. It's really not. It's just, it was like the earnest. The earnestness of that response.
Oh, it can be difficult to schedule, so you know.
You are not wrong there. Yeah, I've written many a post about that.
Yeah, we only have two kids each, and it can be difficult to sneak away and find that moment for yourself, for sure. I couldn't imagine four kids.
Laundry day.
I really need to paint that fence.
Oh my God. What were you saying though? Before I got completely consumed with laughing.
Something along the lines of like shame, like that's still super, super prevalent. Yeah. So like, even though this is like super outrageous, like there's still a lot of that undertone of shame still prevalent today, like for men and women. So
it's especially for those that, and not everyone, I'm not blanket statementing this, but I know just from my own experience and in hearing from listeners, it feels especially present for a lot of folks that find themselves in a committed, structured religion.
Yeah, well, we're about to take that shame to another level this next life. So there are many
shame
children.
2.0.
I know. This is trying to make up some science to justify that.
Isn't that what we've been doing forever?
There are many children born healthy and vigorous who destroy the full vigor of their generative organs in youth by self-abuse. If they survive and marry, if they survive masturbation.
I'm sorry,
does it really say if they survive?
If they survive
and marry.
Do you know
how many people have like tragically died from over-masturbation? It's just, it's sad. It's so sad.
It is really sad. It happens all the time.
No, you're... What? No.
Sarcasm.
Thank you.
Yeah, I followed. I was like, Sarah, you are just way too in the realness of this story that you are having a hard time seeing the clear lines.
No, this is fine. This is fine. This is not the first time that, like, every word that comes out of my mouth, no matter how over sarcastic it is, someone has taken me dead serious. I have to work on my sarcastic tone. It's true.
So
and your laugh, apparently.
And my laugh, yeah.
Lots to work on.
How's the levels?
It's fine.
It's fine to you?
It's good, it's okay. So if they survive and marry, their children will have small bones, small frames, and sickly constitutions.
Okay, well, I can tell you that my children do not have small frames. Sickly bones.
Do they have small bones?
No.
Sickly constitutions?
No, they don't.
Well, we know what they've been up to.
Well... Funny you should say that. Oh, man.
So, I don't know what...
Are these... So, this feels like they're suggesting the idea of, like, sperm is limited quantity, and if you
self-abuse, you use all the best stuff.
Yeah, and that's why your children will have sickly constitutions.
Because you're scraping the bottom.
This is the logic that I think went into writing this and, like, convincing people that this is the way.
Wow.
You only have a limited supply, so you better not, because you don't know.
And this line, the male organ was made for a high and holy purpose.
Yeah, fucking.
Doesn't get much higher or holier. So, and woe be to him who pollutes his manhood by practicing the secret vice. Woe be to him.
They named it the secret vice?
The secret vice.
Oh my God.
I think most vices tend to be secretive, but this is the one. So,
isn't a vice what you like hold wood on something in like a wood shop?
That's a type of vice.
There's also a media company that make videos.
You're right. They're not so secret though.
Yeah. But there's a sense of realism. There can be little doubt that vast numbers of boys are guilty of this practice. In many cases, the degrading habit has been taught by others, e.g. by elder boys at school, where association largely results in mutual corruption.
Hold on, wait. Taught?
They teach the older boys at school, teach them how to self-abuse, and, hey, then, and hey, then they have weak bones.
Come into the woods, I want to show you something cool that I found out. Like...
Can we know that that's probably how that happens? Or like, have you ever done this with your hand?
Instead of a pillow.
Instead of a pillow. Instead of the mattress.
It's like the kids.
Have you made yourself acquainted with the vice?
Oh, woe is ye.
So
who does not know the power of the secret of vice? Oh my God.
So the cool kids, the cool bad kids, they're not hiding to like smoke. What they're doing is they're
circle jerking?
Yeah, they're giving each other masturbation tips. And like, do you want to smoke? No, I'm here to learn.
Has anyone seen Dead Poets Society where they stuck off into the woods, into the cave to read poetry?
Yes.
But instead of poetry,
it's a circle jerk. Oh, I love it. They're just sharing all their best tips.
Exactly.
It's funny because we're laughing about this.
And at the end of the movie, when he stands on his desk and says, "Oh, Captain, my Captain," it has a completely different meaning now.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. Sorry for interrupting.
I just love
that movie so much.
It's funny because it's like we're laughing about this idea of people getting together and like masturbating, but there are totally folks who do this and it's lovely.
Is that true? I have never heard of that in my life.
So there is a specific workshop that is offered by Betty Dodson. I always want to put a B in there. It's not, it doesn't belong there. And she's the founder of Body Sex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this brilliant, brilliant woman and this brilliant workshop. I had a hard time finding the word for workshop there for a while. Friends, might be kicking in now.
Were you trying to put a B in that word too?
Is
that...
Verb shop. Anyway, but what this workshop is essentially is groups of women coming together and discovering and uncovering their individual genitals and learning how to masturbate more effectively.
Like in a group session together?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's offered. There are like one-on-one offerings, or at least there have been in the past, but it's traditionally like a group exercise.
Yeah, she's like 90 years old. She's still offering it in her New York apartment.
That's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're laughing about it, but it actually happens and has been super helpful for a lot of folks.
I don't think it was happening in Victorian schools for
boys. I feel like it was, though.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was.
I feel like it was.
Yeah, maybe.
I definitely think it was possible. Definitely.
Do you want to hear what the authors of this book feel about the female torso?
Oh, please.
Oh, yes.
Like, can you imagine they've got a very woke perspective on the female body?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, men love full breasts.
Well, I do, so they're not wrong.
Because it promotes maternity. If, however, the breasts are abnormally large, it indicates maternal deficiency, the same as any disproportion or extreme.
What? Oh, my God.
Again.
Who wrote this? Do you have the author?
The author's names were, well, they're not that proud of it because they didn't give their full names, B.G. Jeffries and J.L. Nichols.
So, like, I want to know where this research came from. Like, where did they get these ideas and these like this knowledge of saying that like a woman who has very small tits cannot birth as well as a woman over there with the big giant ones? Like, how did they figure that out? Did they follow them? Well, like, what was happening here?
But also, if they're too big, so they obviously
then it's a deformity,
right?
Yeah, if they're too big or too small, so they obviously had a type. And if you weren't that,
so if
type,
you're not a C cup. Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. It's the author's particular. I feel like this is the author's particular type, and in every his upbringing, his particular type of like what he's attracted to. Like
in school, he was left out of the masturbation tips.
He's just really butthurt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this is all about.
Exactly.
Not in a good way. Yeah.
But also. But also they judge the male body, but not where you'd expect.
Here we go.
Do not marry a man with a low flat head.
Wait, what? What does that even mean?
As in, like, his actual head?
Like, his actual, like, his
or the
forehead?
Head of his penis.
No, the head of his face.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
A low caved in face?
If he has a low flat head.
What even is that?
I don't know.
So do you want to know the rationale?
Like someone who had, like, a major head injury? Is this?
Because that one was definitely dropped.
So men with a low flat head. However fascinating, genteel, polite, tender, plausible, or winning he may be, you will repent the day of your espousal.
What?
It doesn't say. That was it. I think he missed out on masturbation tips in school, and then a medium breast-sized woman turned him down and married a flat-headed man instead.
Oh, my God. That's pretty plausible. It's pretty, but also, like, to just go back to this idea of a person with a flat head, like, what?
I don't know what it means either.
Have you seen many people with flat?
No.
Like a person that you would look at and be like, wow, that's a flat head.
Are we talking like the back of their head is like flat, like top? Slow? Like here is this? I don't understand where
unless it's like a terrible racial thing and we're talking about the front.
I think he says a low flat head. So is that from the top? I mean,
I've never seen this in my life. I have no idea.
I feel like we're ready to Google this.
I know. Right.
I may regret that. If we
do you want to hear how they feel about feet?
Oh my God. Yes. Absolutely.
So small feet and small ankles are very attractive. Again, this is very subjectively, like, deciding these things.
For women? Or is this, are we back to women?
I think this is back to women. Because they're in harmony with a perfect female form, and men admire perfection. Small ankles and small feet indicate modesty and reserve, while large feet and ankles indicate coarseness, physical power, authority, and predominance.
Well, that sums me up pretty well. Oh my God, Lindsay. You can't even say it's wrong, though. Oh my God, I want a copy of this, honestly. I want to have this in my house to look at.
Like framed?
Right, honestly. Yeah. Yeah.
But imagine, like, some person reading this and going, yes, finally, the secret knowledge that Victorians are afraid to talk about. I understand women now.
Oh my God! I have a great idea. You just gave me a great idea for, like, you want to copy this, and, like, okay, so you know these WikiHow articles that are animated, right? They're, like, really badly animated. Like, they got someone on Fiverr to do all of them for like $5, right? And that's it. So let's put this on WikiHow, but animated.
Oh my God, that would be the most delightful thing to watch. Right. I just thought of a bunch of boys circle jerking in the woods, though. And then the flathead coming around the corner and somebody being like, oh, no!
Imagine giving the notes to the animator. It's
like, no, more flat.
Yes. Yeah.
More.
Can more I see a larger head. Circle?
Smaller ankles. No, the feet are fine. Smaller ankles. So I want the legs to come and then taper into a tiny point and then come out to feet.
Yes.
Yeah, big feet. Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. What if they had tiny ankles but big feet?
Mm-hmm. They
might or tiny feet but big ankles.
Right?
That's a moral dilemma.
They follow
right
for
there.
A lot.
Well, they drop the ball on this because they don't go into that much detail. So, on flirting.
Here we go.
Those who show too great familiarity with the other sex, who entertain lascivious thoughts. That's a new word to me.
I would like to start using that on a regular basis.
How would you like your burger?
Lascivious.
Would you like to go large? Next second.
It's like a Starbucks cup size. Yes,
exactly.
Can I get one extra Lavicious, please? With some chocolate sprinkles.
And a flathead of foam.
So they basically say that if you flirt too much, it weakens your power. and the actual disease of degeneration.
What power are we talking about? I don't know.
The weakening of power, like self-control.
I assume like our godly power.
Right.
Yeah. And then it causes degeneration, chronic inflammation of the gland, spermatorrhea, which I don't... Has anyone
the
ever
gland?
Heard of this? Spermatorrhea.
As in, like, your dick.
The gland.
Okay, right, yeah, the gland. Yeah.
The gland.
There are many glands in the body.
So wait, you essentially just said that if you practice in flirting, your dick will be hard.
Yeah, but also it says...
As an affliction.
It says, trifling with the affections of others may cost you a life of affliction. So flirting leads to inflammation of the gland, spermatorrhea. Which, is that like diarrhea, but with sperm?
I was thinking, I just thought of a dick having diarrhea.
Oh, you have to stop that imagery right now. That's not going to lead to anything good.
What are you talking about? That's like the prime image I want for my animation. I just see like a dick having diarrhea and then the ass like ejaculating. Like that's where my fucking
that's
edges
where mine goes with this.
Yeah, that's awful.
Your children
awful.
Are so lucky. So this is an affliction, he said, as if like he tried flirt. He's never had an erection in his life. He tried flirting. It happened. Okay.
Yeah.
He came and he's like, oh my God, I have to stop. This is immediately.
I'm having sperm diarrhea.
And remember, we've already learned that we need to save our sperm or our children will be like, of weak constitution and have small bones. Right.
Yeah, that one incident, he used 30% of his life's sperm.
God. Poor guy.
Sensuality. It covers sensuality as well.
All right.
This habit of embracing, sitting in the lover's lap, leaning on his breast, long and uninterrupted periods of secluded companionship have become so common that it is amazing how a young lady can safely arrive at the wedding day. So.
Can we define safely arriving? As in like...
The wagon didn't break down. Happened a lot. I mean, it's...
Wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess it just means, is she a virgin?
That's what I would... Yeah, that was my thought.
I wasn't thinking about road safety.
I was also not thinking road safety.
Bro.
I was thinking like pants safety.
Pants safety.
Bloomer safety.
Yeah. So they actually started defending women on this as well, saying that a lot of sexual promiscuity is the man's fault.
Okay,
so,
all right.
The young sensual husband is generally at fault. Passion sways the duty of the bride, and the wife is not thought of, and so a modest young wife is often actually forced and assaulted by the unsympathetic haste of her husband.
Whoa.
Sensuality will drive away the roses in the cheeks of womanhood, undermine health, and produce a brazen countenance that can be read by all men. The harlot may commit her sins in the dark, but her countenance reveals her character and her immorality.
Yeah.
The harlot is an open secret. Sins in the dark.
Yeah.
That so if you like don't a have graphic novel title.
If you don't have rosy cheeks, then we know what you're up to.
So right. Just be a little bit drunk all the time and you're good.
Exactly. Oh, this is great. This is good. Women naturally love men of strength, size, and fine physique. A woman always pities a weakly man, but rarely ever has any love for him. All men would be of good size in frame and flesh were it not for the infirmities visited upon them by the indiscretion of parents and ancestors of generations before.
No, I'm sorry. Did we just blame someone's affliction on their parents' dalliances?
So, yeah, because their great-great-great-grandfather...
Circle jerked.
I'm going to use a classic British word, because he wanked.
That's a horrible word.
That's why they're only 5'2". So
I'm still, like, throat vomiting over here. That's great noises for all of you. I'm so perturbed by this conversation.
I'm
learning a lot.
This sounds like they're trying. This sounds like they're trying to be romantic. So this is on the ideal woman.
Oh.
Oh, good. Here we go.
Men love beautiful women. For women's beauty is the highest type of all beauty. A handsome woman needs no diamonds, no silks or satins. Her brilliant face outshines diamonds, and her form is beautiful in calico.
In what?
In calico?
Calico, sorry, I said
that
wrong.
What does that mean?
Don't
in
know.
Calico.
What does calico mean?
I just think of cats. Calico cats.
That's what I was thinking too.
That's what comes up. Calico is a plain woven textile made from unbleached and often not fully processed cotton. It may contain unseparated husk parts. For example, the fabric is far less fine than muslin and has less coarse and thick than canvas or denim.
So he's saying women look really good in unseparated husk parts?
Exactly.
No, I thought... What?
If you're picking out husks, then all's good.
So you can... What? The fuck are we reading? I would have been so confused back then.
I don't know. He's gone on a weird tangent. But there's the actual wedding night advice here as well.
Yes, let's do
oh,
that.
So
wow.
Now you've so they've she's safely arrived at the wedding.
Safely with her calico. Yep.
Apart from
just her plainly full dressed because she's so beautiful.
She's wearing calico.
That she could just wear the fucking husks and we're good.
The husband is like, apart from one spermaria. He's at like 99% capacity.
He's gonna bust a nut tonight.
Spermaria. Oh my god! I love that porno.
That's a way better word than like
a quote for the week. Just the word spermaria. It's gonna be it. It's gotta be it.
Oh, I feel like spermaria is like a monster porno. Like it's just like
honestly, it feels like to me like the masculine version of Barbarella. Do you remember that movie from like '60s with Jane Fonda? It feels like the masculine version of that. And
was that the one with the machine where it was like death by pleasure?
Yeah, death by orgasm. Oh my gosh, you have to watch Barbarella.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, it's just fantastic. Jane Fonda and she like makes love to this dude who's super fucking hairy and he's like in an ape suit and then he takes off that mask and then they're doing it and then she takes off to this like land and it's unreal.
I feel like that
pretty
does
sure
not,
they made it while on acid.
I feel like
pretty
doesn't
sure
follow this this manual that we're currently reading.
No, that would terrify them if they watched Barbarella.
Maybe they needed to. Maybe that's it's just not wasn't their time.
She would not arrive safely to her wedding if she watched Barbarella or the groom.
No one would be safe.
Spermaria everywhere.
Just everywhere.
No need for a white gown. She has spermaria.
Oh god.
Just get her the husks and cut her.
Just yeah. Okay.
So back to the wedding night.
I hate that intermittently throughout this podcast, whenever stuff like that is brought up. And it's my own fault, but Dead Poets Society will keep popping back into my head.
I've never seen that film.
Don't now.
No.
Don't or do now.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe it will make it that much better for you.
So, Spermaria.
A young couple rushing together in their animal passion soon produce a nervous and irritating condition, which long brings apathy, indifference, if not dislike. True love and a high regard for each other will temper passion into moderation. So basically, take it slow. I think that's what he's trying to say on the wedding night.
Wow.
That's how Victorians said, take it slow.
It didn't even rhyme.
Do you know how often you should have sex, according to this manual?
Oh my God, they have a number. All right.
Sexual indulgences should only occur about once a week or 10 days. It is a hygienic and physiological fact that those who indulge in only once a month receive a far greater degree of intensity of enjoyment than those who indulge their passions more frequently.
I mean, that... I could actually see that being a truth. Like if you hold off for a month and only have sex once a month, that's going to be pretty intense, you know?
And that way you avoid spermaria.
Yeah.
Or that could cause spermaria.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, we always do it on the 15th, but then it's like the 13th and it's like, I don't feel well. Did you eat something?
Oh wow. There's more.
Remember, intercourse should not become the polluted purpose of marriage. So don't just get married to have sex.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thumbs up for me for that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Intercourse should be absolutely avoided before or after meals, or just after mental excitement or physical exercise. It's like swimming.
Does it actually say that?
I added the swimming. Okay. They say don't have a big meal and go swimming. They say that.
No, I know. That's why I was like, I think that was an ad. No, but if not, that makes this that much better.
Oh my God.
And this is an interesting school of thought. No wife should indulge her husband when he is under the influence of alcoholic stimulants, for idiocy and other serious conditions are liable to be visited upon the offspring. So if you make a baby when you're drunk, the baby will be drunk forever.
What is that? What that means? Is that
implying
if that were true, there would be a lot of permanently drunk babies in the world.
Exactly, 50%.
My son Henry would be drunk right now. Alexis, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. I'm wondering if that's potentially true.
I'm thinking about toddlers, and I mean, like, they are like drunk humans,
right? Yeah, like, right? If you grew up drunk and you never knew what sober felt like, I mean,
is adulthood like just being sober? And while we're all kids, we're just drunk, and then like as we age, we just like slowly sober,
and then we get drunk again as we get older.
I feel yeah,
and then it perpetuates the system, the pattern.
All right, guys, I'm the one that had the edible. What is going on with you?
Sarah just dropped a ball of wisdom on her laps.
Gino! Was it? I don't know what's going on with my voice
here. I don't know. Be thinking about it later as I look at my son sleeping. I'm looking at him like,
you're clutching a bottle of wine.
That's how drunk right now, you little shit.
Wow.
I'm joking. I love you, Henry. I love you.
Someday he'll be listening to this with his partner of choice.
Do you know,
being like, fuck, do we have to invite mom to the wedding? I'm kidding. He'll be like, yeah, mom.
You passed out drunk, you little shit. Yes.
Who would like tips on how to be a good wife?
Oh my lord.
But I want to listen.
Oh, you know. Please enlighten me on how I need to better. I don't know.
Sidle up to your son's bedroom at night with a bottle of wine and say you passed out drunk, you little shit. That's
Momgasm takes no claim for that.
I take full responsibility for that as an individual. Again, this is fucking hilarious.
I love it. It is that. It is very that.
If a woman cannot broil a beefsteak, nor boil the coffee when it is necessary, she cannot mend the linen, nor patch a coat, she cannot make a bed, order the dinner, create a lampshade.
What the fuck?
Ventilate the house. I don't know.
Open a window? my weak little wrist can't open this window.
Maybe it's not about the strength of her wrists and more about the awareness to open the window before you cook shit.
Fucking hell.
Or to do anything practical in the way of making a home actually a home. How can she be expected to ever make a good wife, not to speak of a better or the best wife?
Oh my God.
So, and then there's also tips on how to be a good husband.
All right.
Express your will, not by command, but by suggestions. You are clothed with authority. But this does not authorize you to be stern and harsh. Your authority is the dignity of love. A simple suggestion that you may embody a wish is an opinion or an argument becomes one who reigns over such as the kingdom is yours.
Whoa.
Wow.
I don't hate that.
It's very, there's a lot of, power play in that statement.
A lot of power play happening because, like, it's saying on one hand that, like, men have all this power in the home, but then on the other hand, it's saying that they're like these, like, crazed sexual beasts and, like, they're gonna go to hell and they're evil and spermaria and, like, creating all of this fear. But it's
but
like,
you're the king,
but
so
you have all this power in your home, so let's go and reign over there. And
see, I'm like, but if I take that sentence and separate it completely from everything else and apply it to like all humans, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Present, sure. present your needs and desires without being a douche. and own your shit.
Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with that. No, yeah. Everyone should have like authority that, you know, in their house they feel comfortable to share. But like what that's saying is presenting like an image of this man with authority. And instead of like actually saying what you would want with authenticity, he's suggesting what he wants you to do to his wife. Like maybe with your weak little wrist, go and open that window, honey, while you're broiling the steak. I don't know.
Do you know what would be really cool? Opening a window.
So what I was saying is it's only like the line itself is only all right if it's applied to everyone equally.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, as it stands, it's garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage. But yeah. Just take that one line, take that one little nugget and apply it to everyone.
And I agree.
This one's kind of like, so recall and repeat the little attentions and delicate compliments that once made you so agreeable and that fanned her love into a consuming flame. That's like...
It's nice.
It's nice.
That's
nice. What's weird about this is that amongst the sea of madness, there are now and then little nuggets of like wisdom that's actually pretty good
like,
advice.
Like 1%. All right.
Yeah. The other one was what? And don't get married just for sex?
Yeah, like, don't get married just for sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, if it's applied to all parties, not just the man, like, yeah, know what you want, speak what you want with like dignity and respect and own your shit.
It was a suggestion that it was really like, don't ask for something, suggest it.
Yeah.
It's like you said, it'd be really nice if someone opened the window right now.
Well, change that to ask for it and we're good.
Boy, I'm hungry. Wouldn't it be great if food just appeared soon and say an hour on the table?
That'd be great, actually.
Good suggestions.
I would love that to happen. This caramel is hit. We're here now. We've arrived.
So to end these quotes, the final two lines compare female sexuality and male sexuality.
Oh, Jesus.
So male sexuality.
Buckle up, folks.
Every healthful man has sexual desires, and he might as well refuse to satisfy his hunger as to deny their existence.
Okay, whoa. Okay, what? Did we not spend the first, like, chunk of this talking about how male sexual desire is, like, the ultimate
No, it's fine, because he's married and he's got a wife. And he can express them with his wife once a month, ideally.
So now that we have the perfect circumstance, the perfect little happy family, and the once a month schedule,
now
it's healthy and good and lovely.
It's okay, fine.
Just clarifying that. Wow.
Which is fine. How about female sexuality? This is interesting. The average woman has so little sexual desire that if depended on her, uninfluenced by a desire to please her man and secure his support, there would be very little sexual excess. So essentially just a mirror.
Wow. Wow.
So women are sexless voids, but they will perform for you. So it's fine.
Yeah. Through suggestion.
That would be good. It would feel great if my dick was warm. What do they call it? A secret vice? That'd be good right now.
If I could rub my secret vice.
No, the secret vice is like the hand. It's the clenching hand vice scenario. So it's a stroking motion. The dick itself is not the vice. So could I? It would be great if I could maybe have someone else's vice on my swollen, afflicted member. In about 20 minutes would be great.
Oh my God. It is the 15th after all, honey.
What could give us your book reviews on Searchlights on Health, Light on Dark Corners.
Oh. Burn it.
Yes. That was going to be like
burn it once.
Spermaria all over it, and then burn it.
Did I give it like half a circle jerk out of 10?
Except for that one line, a couple of lines.
There was, yeah, that's why they get half.
Yeah. Plus they earned that half.
Out of 10. Just to be really clear that it's a very vast variance between
half of a circle jerk. Would it be like an ellipses jerk?
That's what we should send.
It's a triangle that jerk.
Let's commission someone on Fiverr and just give them that to say, can you animate an ellipses jerk? And just see what they come up with. It's very hard to visualize.
I would really like to see that, though. I would like to see the process of somebody trying to make that. I think that would be more entertaining than the actual finished product.
Imagine when you were kids and you were like, I really want to work for Pixar when I'm older. And then you end up doing that.
And you're like, I've made it. Here I am in all my glory. I don't need you, Pixar.
I want to read the sequel to this book. That's what I also.
I don't know if there is one.
So there is the new manuals. They're not really manuals, but the health recommendations for sex that just came out. I think it's for BC.
What?
And there
are what?
Because for COVID.
I read that. I saw it. So, oh my God, is that real?
Yes, it's very real.
With the glory hole?
With the glory hole.
Oh my God.
With the, so they recommend glory holes and they also recommend sex with masks on.
Did the government recommend glory holes?
Yes, they did. As a way to stay safe from COVID-19.
Because there's a door, so you're not getting mouth breathing safety.
But I imagine, you know, when you go to like Dollarama and there's a Perspex screen.
Oh my God, I was going to say, could it be plexi?
That's what I'm saying. Is it plexi?
I hope it's plexi. That would be delightful. Okay, somebody needs to start making and selling these immediately.
So like those giant plexiglass face masks where someone just drilled a giant hole through the front? Like that?
Like what you would see at your grocery store right now, just with a dick through it.
You know when you were a kid and you used to press your face against a glass window and your friends would be the other side laughing?
Like that? Over there?
Exactly.
You know what's even better is there's actually a porn company who is sponsoring these glory holes. They're actually like donating, I think it's like $100,000 to the BC government to create these glory holes.
Are you serious?
I think they're called U Porn or something like that.
Oh my God.
Like there's a whole brief that was just released and they're like, yeah, we want to make this happen.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
You know someone. Okay, so like I know people who work in government and they've told me stories about the people they work with. And it's just like there's so many stories of just so many mindless sort of drones who are just doing their job without thinking. And I bet someone as a joke put that in and no one down the chain of command knew what it meant and didn't know better to stop it or pull it out, and so it just went through.
But it is a viable option. It's a fucking fantastic option.
It really is,
right? Like if I am single and I want to mingle, but I want to do it safely because I have a pre-existing health condition, or I have, which I do, or I have parents that are old or whatever, I want to get my freak on or like have my shit touched, but do it safely. This gives me an option.
It might protect you from COVID, but it doesn't protect you from spermary.
I will take me some spermary at this point. If I am single and lonely in COVID, give me all the spermaria I can get my hands on.
I can picture that as your autobiography. Single, lonely, and COVID. Lonely, and full of COVID.
But really, just riddled with it. Please, God, no. It's not a premonition. I want to know that, like, where are they going to actually, like, construct these glory holes?
This is also what I would like to know.
You know, like, are they just going to, like, build a structure and then just install all of these glory holes and you just pay to go in and it's like a fuck barn or something?
Church.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
No one can use them at the moment.
So now turned into glory holes.
I think they kind of already were for a long time.
I was going to go there, and I'm really glad that you did instead of me. Thank you for taking that for me. Really appreciate that.
It's no problem.
Oh my God.
I don't really have any religious family, so.
My religious family does not listen to my work. Let's be real clear about that.
So, the Victorian Kama Sutra.
So if I ever have a time machine, I am not going back to the Victorian age.
Oh, I would like to fuck some shit up.
Oh, no, that would be interesting.
Right?
That would be really interesting.
I would never want to go back beyond antibiotics. Just saying.
I would go back 2 years and just buy Bitcoin.
Okay.
That's it.
That's also fair.
It's not as exciting. It's like they're not going to do a like Back to the Future 4 based on that.
Who knows? Who knows?
Marty, we're going to go buy Bitcoin.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thanks
for digging out that fucking gold.
Right? Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun.
No, it was cool. And thank you so much.
Sure. Yeah, thank you very much.
This is probably the most explicit show we've done.
I was going to say, is this your most scandalous episode?
By far.
Yeah. Fuck yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I think you win that.
Oh, yeah.
That's delightful. I love that.
I feel like we bring that to a lot of folks.
I know. I love that's kind of like our claim of like bringing the most scandalous shit you can think of.
I really want Spermaria on a shirt now.
It would be a really good name for a music festival.
I feel like it should be the name of this episode is Spermaria.
Spermaria.
Oh, word. And suddenly their listeners dropped.
Or how the Victorians survived Spermaria.
Yes! You found it. There it is.
If our listeners have enjoyed the scandalous...
If you like what you listen to.
If you like what you listen to.
Ooh, do that again.
Where can they find you to learn more?
Oh, fuck. Places. Oh, Jesus.
Just walk around. Eventually they'll bump into
places. Just anywhere.
Look for the one with sperm on her shirt.
Yes. We're the Spermaria gals. Yeah, look and you'll find us. No, you can find us on Instagram at Momgasm Podcast or Facebook at Momgasm Podcast.
And more importantly... If you want to listen to our content, you can get it anywhere that podcasting is available for your ear holes. But more importantly, Apple.
Yeah.
You used my term.
Ear holes?
Sweet. Yeah.
Nice.
Air high five.